Mind Grenade, episode 364. I'm your host, Hector, and with me I have Cassandra Simpson, a fledgling comedian, here as a guest on this episode. But Cassie, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So I said fledgling. It's been how long now since you've been doing stand-up, like officially?
I think I started in March of last year. So
it's been a full...
A year. Yeah.
That's awesome. Lately, so you've been on the podcast before, but since then, we've tried to do this again, and that didn't work out. That was on my end, my fault. But got everything all squared away now with the recording equipment. But since then, it seems like you've been getting a lot of... a lot more experience, it seems, with the stand-up.
Yeah, I've been doing... Well, I have the monthly open mic that I co-host. And then I think I've done 5 or 6 actual comedy shows.
Yeah.
I did one this weekend, which is completely different than anything. It was a Sammy Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
Karaoke comedy night.
Is that, yeah. Does the karaoke make it even funner? Like, gives the atmosphere more.
Yeah, and I sang Sia, but I made a Sia wig. Yeah. So
nice. Yeah, I think I saw a clip of that. I've noticed. Yeah, that you've been. It's Springfield, Illinois, where you're out from, I just moved away from there. I've mentioned on the podcast recently, but as I was leaving, and even now that I'm kind of keeping up with it online on social media, it seems like there's been more. Like, it seems like it's kind of a growing comedy scene.
Yeah, or maybe you're just seeing it more
now that I'm following you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but really, like. Because is it Sean Winfield, right? Is that Mason City? Yeah. Is that up a little bit further?
Champagne, but yeah.
Champagne, okay.
And open mic too. And then I think a few other comedians have started open mics, like in Jacksonville, Bloomington, and Decatur.
Yeah.
So yeah, people are starting new things.
Well, because I met you through the venue there, the Wakery there in Springfield, and that you're still hosting that. You kind of kicked that off with Ryan Thorson, right?
Yeah.
And so I know that venue, and so you said, and you've been going to Mason City and a couple other places, the Springfield scene, because I, for the last however many years, on the podcast, I've had musicians on quite a bit, and it seems like the comedy scene's been getting more heat than the music scene there.
Yeah,
the Wakery especially. So that's, you guys do that every second Sunday.
Yeah, the second Sunday of every month. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess there are more open mics. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've actually. Oh, yeah, I did one show in Springfield at the Wakery. Mm-hmm. We had a show.
That's right, yeah. That went well.
Yeah. Mainly it's like outside cities, like Mason City
or
Quincy. But yeah, that show went really well. It was fun.
Yeah. There's a Mother's – the next Wakery show is going to be a Mother's Day open mic.
Yeah.
That's cool. That lined up nicely there.
Yeah, it'll be Kathy Brennan, because we always have a headliner at the open mics.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I when I had you on before, it was with Lance Kane, and he also does an open mic.
Yes. Yeah.
And
Anvil and Forge.
Anvil and Forge. Yeah. So it's all there in Springfield. You know, I've got a lot of having left there now. I lived there for the last 10 years and lots of fond memories there. Met a ton of cool people there. I had, like I said, I had musicians on this podcast. I had a musician early on, a Springfield musician, but this is years ago that I had him on. I had him on a couple times. His name is Tom Irwin, and he's an older gentleman, and he plays folk music. And he had one of his albums called Sangamon Songs turn into like a musical slash play production type thing there at I saw it maybe 2 or 3 years back there at the Hoogland, right? The Center for the Arts there. Yeah. And that's a great theater there. Like, I didn't realize how big it was because you drive past it all the time. You're like, okay, you see the front of it and the marquee.
Yeah.
But that was a cool venue there, and that was a great show. But you were telling me offline that they have – is it there as well that they have like kind of a setup for people who want to just kind of maybe start a podcast or there's like other like
At the library.
At the library. Okay, so that's not too far from the Hoogland.
Yeah, it's not very far.
Yeah.
Like right on the other side of the street. But they have a collab, and they have like sewing machine equipment and a 3D printer, and then they have a podcast booth and equipment.
Yeah.
And then classes on how to do the podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome. We were talking offline on how a lot of people probably don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked right next to that place and I've never been in it. Like, it's pretty nice from like the outside. Like I can't mm-hmm. speak to the inside of it, but it's like a library museum type situation for like, they're trying to get people excited about Abraham Lincoln and stuff, which that's the one thing there in Springfield.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Abraham Lincoln Museum.
Oh, so it's not, I'm still not. Yeah.
No, it's just the regular Lincoln.
That's right. Library. Okay. So that's close. That's that library even closer to the Hoogland.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, so you'll figure it out.
Yeah. One day. Yeah. I'll have to move back. And, you know, how's it been? Because it's okay. So I saw you last in real life in March, about a month ago.
Yeah.
And I had already started getting accustomed to the San Antonio weather because it was fucking cold when I got there. And it really wasn't like peak cold, but it was still chilly.
Oh.
What's it like there now?
It's warmish mm-hmm. and rainy, but then it'll be super cold some days. Yeah. Confusing.
Hoodie weather.
Yes.
Which I kind of like, you know. Mm-hmm. I was about to start shopping for a hoodie recently, and that's like the most first world of first world problems. Where you, I was like, "Oh fuck, man, my hoodie that I've had for 8 years, I need to replace it."
Yeah.
And but then I was like, "How much longer am I going to need a hoodie? It's already getting like it's already spring." But I was like, "Oh, I guess I'll wait till fall."
Yeah.
But I like hoodie weather. So, Springfield, it was awesome when I got to kind of, aware of the comedy scene there. Cause it was just by happenstance, you know, I was checking out the Wakery and then I heard about the open mics and, it's kind of like Springfield is kind of a quiet town, even though it's the capital of Illinois. It seems like not a lot's going on there other than like working a state job and then going to the bars, which is fine, you know. I would go to the bars and I would hang out with friends or not hang out with friends or drink or not drink in mm-hmm. any kind of order. But I liked the Wakery because it was like, it's a non-alcoholic bar, right? It's a whole, which is novel. It's kind of unique for the nightlife there.
Yeah.
And, I love that part about it, but, it's, really, I guess I'm speaking to just the, having that option of like, not, you know, I don't have anything against the bars, but it's nice to get a different vibe. Especially on a Saturday night or a Friday night or a Sunday night, like with the open mics and stuff.
Yeah, because I'm a night person. Mm-hmm. And then, I started doing, or I wanted to do stand up, and I'm like, where do we even do that in Springfield?
Yeah.
And so I did some research and just on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all in bars, and I don't really like to go to bars all the time.
Yeah.
And I knew the Wakery was opening April of last year.
Yeah. So it's been a full year now, yeah.
Yeah, so I met up with Ryan, and we talked with the owner, Elizabeth, and that's we started it.
So, yeah. And every, like we were saying, every second Sunday of the month there, which is pretty awesome. Just met so many cool people there. I did get away. So you've got a show coming up July 7th that you're putting together. You're the mastermind behind it, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. July, it's, what is it? The Sober Comedy Showcase.
Yes.
July 7th at the Wakery. Yeah. And Ryan's hosting, who's been your co-host there at the Wakery. You're headlining.
Yeah.
And let's see who else is going to be there. Clay Foley, Lance Kane, who's been a guest, like I said. Kristen Unakis and Dan Watchtell. So it's a nice, robust crew of people there that night. Yeah. Tell me about that.
There's a lot more sober comedians than I thought there were.
Did you think at first you're going to like, okay, it's going to be a challenge? But that's a nice group so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm sober, and that's why I kind of talked to the Wakery about starting the open mic. And I don't know. I'm planning to have a year of sobriety.
Yeah. Right. So you got to hold off till the show.
Yeah.
After the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I just started thinking of things to do. I was like, comedy show would be cool.
Yeah.
And talked to Elizabeth at the Wakery.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I probably should set a date. I'm like, all right, well, now I'm committed. Mm-hmm. So, but I thought it'd be great to celebrate sober or sober adjacent comedians. Because, Ryan drinks, but very rarely, and he doesn't need it to perform.
Nice, yeah.
And then Kristen is in recovery from a different substance.
Mm-hmm.
The material isn't going to have to be sober based. It's just going to be a show. And
I'm it's nowhere near what alcohol is and to be sober with that. But like when, I quit smoking cigarettes, which is bad, but it's not the same as alcohol or some other substances.
It's so hard to quit, though.
It is. Yes, it was. And I was having a conversation with somebody recently about it. And I thought forever. I tried everything. It's been about 10 years now since I quit smoking cigarettes. And I started like when I was like 16.
Oh, okay.
When it's cool to smoke cigarettes, when you're a teenager, of course, And that's why I did it, was because, this is so fucking cool. And then you get to a certain age, you're like, this is a fucking ball. This is a ball and chain. This is like, this is something that has got me down, like a hold of me. And, my mid 30s, I guess, I had tried everything, going cold turkey, patches, just all kinds of, weaning myself, just nothing worked. And then one day I just got frustrated, and, it was like at night sometime. And I had like two cigarettes left in the pack. I think I was smoking like Camels. I think I started with Marlboro Lights and then ended with Camel Lights. And I had two left, and I was just sitting there going, this fucking, like, I felt like I had no choice. The first thing I was going to have to do the next morning is go to the gas station and pick up more cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does that have to be such an absolute fucking thing? Like, that's not fucking okay. And I told my, so I, the way I ended up quitting was I Jedi mind tricked myself.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I told myself, I was like, I'm too smart for this. And poof, that was it. I haven't smoked since then. So all the fucking like quitting and then for a week and then going, oh, I can just have one. And then like, I haven't looked back since that moment. And I've told people, just like I was saying, I was talking to somebody about it the other day. I was like, that kind of sounds conceited. Oh, I'm too smart for this. But really, like, it worked. So that's the result was good, even though, yeah.
Did you say that every time you had, like, a craving or the habit of
smoking? Yeah, I guess so. It didn't, that initial, that was strong enough of a put, like, a push in the right direction that, and since then, like, I've been able to have people, like, I can be around people smoking, mm-hmm. Even in my car, like, if somebody wants to smoke, like, it doesn't, or my apartment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things that will kind of gross me out, though, is when I see an ashtray full of butts just sitting there. I'm like, ugh. But other than that, I don't have, like, I've compartmentalized that. I've gotten rid of that vice. And, and you know what? Like, there's part of it, too, where I'm like, I still have my vices, but like I've whittled them down to just a couple that are pretty safe, like coffee, for example. Like I have espressos every day. I've got I've got my own machine. I've been doing 3 shots of espresso a day for however many years since I got my machine. It's not like I've gone to like quadruple or, you know, 5 shots a day. I've kept it. But so that's a manageable vice, but you know, it's like, so it's one thing where you're like looking at life, you're like, that's unhealthy. But then like, you only live once, you only YOLO once, right? So, so there's some stuff that I like to just, you know, have, you know, enjoy my, and enjoy life. It's kind of like a diet where like 80 or 90% of the time I'm very healthy with what I eat, but then I want to have some donuts or pizza at you know, so it's like a 90-10 or 80-20, but there's those toxic vices that you're just like, what am I doing? Like, that's not like, it's not okay. It's seeping into the rest of my life.
Yes. Like cigarettes. I would like to quit smoking, but
okay. Yeah.
They're financial.
That too. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I would never pay $10 a pack. And then, and it's like, oh, it's, but I've cut back. So that's good.
It was always, I'd always find an occasion to smoke a cigarette. And, you know, it's like, oh, after I eat, you know, after whatever, and, or drinking or whatever, you know. And then, and then it got to the point where I would just have one because, what's that?
Or I'm mad and then I'm happy.
I was going to say. Yeah, or I'm bored.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's good to kind of like get past stuff like that and grow, you know, and just, you know, accept that we're not perfect, that we are going to have some stuff that just, you know, but to have those, to conquer stuff like that feels good on the other side of it when you're like, man, I didn't think I was going to get out of that.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, I'm the same way you were saying. Ryan, drinks occasionally. I'm the same, like, I don't have, so, us having this conversation and conversation we've had recently, like, I took for granted that the way, like, I was just excited for the Wakery, the coffee shop there, being open late. Not necessarily only because the hours worked well for my, I didn't consider the people who were like sober having a place. Like I was so selfish about it. I was like, oh, fucking awesome. I can hang out late with people, you know, and be around people. And then, but this is great that, sober comedy show. Yeah. Cause like,
the Bakery attracts a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And how it's successful.
Yeah.
It's not just one group.
Right.
A lot of different people go there.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. Yeah, when I've gone there, it can get wild still, not in the the sense of bar brawls or anything, or you know, but some of the content and stuff of the comedians and stuff is rated R. You know, it's rated R. You know, it's it gets pretty wild, which is pretty adult. So it doesn't mean just the alcohol and comedy, stand up especially, is kind of gone hand in hand over the decades. You know,
yeah.
To prove that that necessarily doesn't have to be the case, you know, that we can have a good time and
yeah.
That's, like I said, that's the Sober Comedy Showcase there at the Wakery, July 7th. And I did watch. Oh, so we've been communicating over Facebook Messenger.
The content, the open mic, you know, we never know what the content is.
Yeah.
But sober show, I'm planning to make PG-13. So more people.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. That is the plan. Oh. I mean, not like boring. It's not boring.
No, of course not. Yeah, because there are comedians. Older. No, there's plenty of comedians. Like, but the thing is that, yeah, it could be a number of things. It doesn't have to fall within, because there's examples of comedians, like really fucking successful comedians that are clean.
Yeah.
Especially right now that are, you know, Nate Bargatze and a couple other people. Jerry Seinfeld's like he's been getting kind of some criticism lately, but like he's one of my favorite comedians, but he's an example. So it can go either way. I mean, I like the versatility of somebody can do a clean or a blue, you know, set. But speaking of sets, and I was just saying that we've been communicating over Facebook Messenger. You sent me a clip, and then in the message with the clip was, "Do you know how to download?" And I was confused. I you were asking me for how to do it. You were asking me for instructions. Yeah. I misinterpreted that. I thought I was like, no, yeah, I'll figure it out. But you were asking me for,
I figured.
So
no, he's techish. So
yeah. I did watch that, and so that was at a show that Sean Winfield had put together, right?
Yeah, at Goldie's in Champaign on. I don't think there's like a set weekend, but. Okay. There's definitely one next month. I can't remember.
Okay. And he's from what I've been seeing, he promotes quite extensively for stuff, which is pretty awesome. And good crowd, that video I watched. And so that was on the website. Where is it here? Camp Nostalgic Studios had put that out. Did you have any kind of say in the editing at all, or did you do that, or did they just piece it together and put it out there? They probably ask you for permission, but
yeah, I guess Sean knew them, and they like to showcase local comedians and different things, and so they recorded me and a couple other comedians at that open mic, and no, I didn't really have any say. Mm-hmm. I said maybe add some laughter because it was a hard environment because it's at a bar, and I've learned that those are more difficult.
Yeah,
people aren't there necessarily for a comedy.
So the entirety of the focus isn't like some of it's people's attention or elsewhere. There.
Yeah, there's some just for the comedy show, but then there's, you know, people just drinking and having a good time, which is fun, but it's more difficult to capture people's attention.
Yeah, herding cats. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was a great clip. I thought, that's why I asked. I was like, did you? Because like it, you kind of ease into it, but then the video ends strong. Like I was like, okay, just finding kind of a vibe. And then it kind of starts ramping towards the end, and then you like, at least the video ends strong. So however you're writing or putting together or the rhythm of stuff is working pretty well, I thought, from that video. So, yeah. So that's Camp Nostalgic Studios.
Yes.
If anybody wants to check that out, I'll have links and stuff in the promotion of this. Yeah. But that's on YouTube. And, that was – Because, yeah, it seems like I would be thrown off by all the, like, you seem to have done it enough now where you can accept that there's going to be some fucking random noises in the background while you're trying to, like, stay focused and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was personally trying to keep my energy level and my volume up.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally, through any set that I do. So I was like, this is the perfect challenge. Yes,
right, yeah. You got to look at it that way as a challenge and just, like, just focus and get to where you want to get to.
You like the way I write things because I really don't know what I'm doing. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's everybody. I'm sure people just figure out their own way to write and stuff. I've been wanting to write a lot lately because I'll be somewhere and just coming up with this concept of something in my head. And then I'm like, you know what? I need to just like quit fiddling with this idea every once in a while when I'm inspired with it and just write it down. Like, I guess it just comes down to, which I was just doing before we got behind the mics here, just kind of scheduling out my week and finding, even if it's like a half hour every other day to just like write, you know, in the morning before I get my day started. But do you, when you write, and this is like shit that I think about, like, does it matter if you're writing your notes on an app or writing it on paper? What do you think? Like, what do you do? It doesn't matter one way or the other? Or?
I like typing it on a Word document because edit it easily and then move things around
for
a certain show that I'm doing. Or have categories like dating stuff.
Yeah.
Or random miscellaneous things that I and it's not like I don't really make up jokes, it's just stories from my life.
You just get inspired with something and then you're like, oh, there's something here. And then you just try to mold it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny how and I've heard this from stand-up comedians is a premise or a joke will work here, but then it didn't work over here with this other crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or sometimes you've changed the wording a little bit or the rhythm of it, and then that'll work. I've posted nonsensical shit, jokes that I've tried to make up and posted on Twitter one day, got nothing, and then posted it some other random day when, like, I saw something was trending that was kind of related to the joke, and then it fucking hits, and I'm like, I've got fucking, like, triple-digit likes on this thing, and it's just a fucking random joke that I, you know?
Yeah.
But I noticed that, too, the word, like, just something simple is just omitting a word or adding one or, you know.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about comedy when I started, so.
That's awesome.
I'm like, why do people keep telling the same jokes? Like, ew. Yeah. But that's what open mics are for, you know, hammering out your
trying joke. Stuff out, yeah.
Yeah, trying a different place or saying it a different way. And then you're building up for like a 15-minute set. And then you're using that and building onto it for 30. And you're trying to find stuff that works in each environment or be flexible and be able to just change stuff completely for the crowd that's not reacting to your normal stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. The dating stuff is pretty good because it's good to have. Well, you can get it from experience. I've been on the dating scene too. So that's on that video that you sent me. That's on that Camp Nostalgic Studios. You get into some of the dating stuff there, the premises, and it's a lot of relatable stuff there. And especially with the app stuff, you know, there's I've kind of, because I'm a little older, I just turned 47. And so I'm in that, like, I I knew things before the internet and now after the internet. So like, I'm like a foot in and a foot, like 1 foot out, you know, I'm like, oh, I can just meet somebody face to face, but also I shouldn't not count out the Bumble and this and that and all this other stuff. But my thing is like when I get on there, it's the same with social media. Like I'm like, kind of a love hate thing with it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially going on some of the dating apps, it's like, this just feels like a fucking meat market and blah, blah, blah. But technically that's what it's all, that's really what it comes down to in the, you know, yeah. It's not any different, you know, trying to meet people in real life. And it's just
talking to someone about this. Like I download it when I'm just interested in kind of dating, and then within like a day I'm like, ugh, never.
Yeah, know. Right. It's just, I haven't gotten serious enough with the apps to, because I had a Bumble works like the woman will initiate, I think, with the guy, but then like, right?
Yeah, you have to message.
You have to match up, and then the woman gets the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't gotten so far enough with it to like to subscribe to the premium of it, you know, where you have, then you can start doing stuff on there. So I haven't gotten too serious with it yet, but like, that doesn't mean I'm not open to, you know, like.
Maybe that's not getting good, like, material. Like good guys, because I just do the free
minimum. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just don't know how much it, because I'm not putting my all into it, really, that avenue of it. Like in real life, mm-hmm. I try to be, you know, cordial and kind and sweet and considerate, you know, and try to be charming, but like just in my everyday. But like yeah, with the apps, it just like, and then you're just going through, and then you'll be on swiping and swiping, and then my brain will go into what it does when I'm on social media too much. It starts turning into doom scrolling. I'm like, I don't want to be on here and just be like judging people. It's like, what are you doing? Like, so it's like, yeah, first world problems.
Yeah. There's still problems, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I with the there's like with the dating stuff, there's like red flags, you know, mm-hmm. and there's like red flags that like are pretty common with guys and girls, but then you've got those kind of red flags that, you know, but then you'll have like more specific ones that are more like to your, you know, and. Yeah. But then I feel like my shit will get a little, I'll have to like, ease up a little bit. It's like, I'm never going to meet anybody if I keep fucking coming up with red flags that are just fucking stupid. Like, for example, here's one that'll make me even, less likely to find someone this is a phenomenon that's been around on the internet forever. And I apologize up front if you have some of this on your social media, is the selfie in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. That's just a me thing. I don't know why I find that weird. It's like, look how hot I got myself. But there's also the toilet right next to me in the background. I'm like, I don't know why that's a, like, you know, people get ready in the bathroom. So it makes sense, right? Like,
well, I try to do it so you can't really tell that it's bathroom, but it has like really good lighting.
That's true. Yeah. And even if it, you know, some people will have the grossest bathroom too, and like, what do you do? Yeah. Like at least fucking like, or public bathrooms too. I've seen those. Girls holding. You got to hold the phone just the right way so your hands look cool holding the phone, and you got to make a good, you know, duck lips.
Oh, yeah, duck lips.
I got to pass on the duck. Like, I don't, like, that to me, when I still see it, I'm like, wow, people are still doing this. I thought that was, like, from 10 years ago. But, yeah. But it's shit like that I should look like it's just so minor. It's so stupid. You just get in that rhythm of swiping and.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been on that one, Bumble. What are the other ones though? I think you had a joke. What, say that again?
It's hard because you are just judging people by like physical appearances and the little information, like their personality could totally change how you see them. Like that's why I like meeting people in person. Cause it's like, I would have swiped left on you or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking to you, you're more attractive, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I can totally see that. But it's just so like a la carte these days with the internet that you just, it's like going on Netflix and you're just like, I want to watch something.
Yeah.
And you have all these options and it's like, so I guess that's just the modern kind of, you know, the modern world, with all these options and stuff, but, there's plenty to mine there as a comedian, you know?
And, yeah.
I recently, so you've told me, you said this before and, when I've asked you about the getting into comedy and you said that you didn't know anything about like, so it's not like I can ask you about like stand up that you grew up on or.
Well, no, I mean, I know what comedy
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I used to watch like Jim Gaffigan and, I like Taylor Tomlinson. I just discovered her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She now is the late night host or something.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that part. Yeah. I didn't know she.
Yeah. But her stand-up's really good. And yeah, I grew up on Jonathan the Amazing. Or like the coked up.
I think he might have died.
I think he did.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know what he was doing when I was a kid. I'm like, oh,
no, I didn't know till about 2 weeks ago when I found out he died.
Yeah.
He always seemed like a wild kind of character. But
yeah, there was a part of his act, like snorting stuff.
That's right.
I'm like, I know that's bad. I don't know what it is, but it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Somebody going down in flames is like, no. I just found out about that, and it's kind of weird that aspect of it, like where like because Robin Williams was also that way, where he's just like when you see old video of him and he's sweating through his t-shirt and stuff, you're like, and he's just running all over the stage, you're like,
yeah,
people can't be entirely like, but we were kids whenever we saw those, you know, those videos and stuff. But in Peoria, Illinois, Richard Pryor, he was somebody else that was just like right in front of people's faces, just like just abusing, you know, drugs and stuff. It's a shame, man. Now there's Greg Giraldo. He's one of my favorites, and he kind of went that path. You don't have to like that whole thing about like what if I'm not funny if I'm not partying all the time? That's a kind of I think it's bullshit. Like that's where then you prove to people that you can. You know, like you just look at it as like, well, I put myself in this. I dug myself into this hole. It's, you know, and because I've seen examples of it of people just like moving away from that. I'm a big fan of this is kind of going into music a little bit, but I'm into this rapper Danny Brown, and he's been featured on like Run the Jewels albums, and I've talked about him on this podcast before, but he got fucking wild like all the time between, you know, in his 20s and his 30s, and he just turned 40, and he's been sober for I don't know how long now, maybe a year or so. And, hearing him talk and his struggle of just like still keep putting his head down and doing the work and being creative and struggling with the, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like, the way he's been putting it is that he's wanting to write more music that's, more uplifting and less of a trauma dump is the way he puts it. Like, instead of just like, you know, his material being about just like fucked up shit that he's been going through. Like this, now he just kind of wants to inspire people. And I guess my point is that like people can be like, you know, okay, I need to fucking like, I need to put that behind me and not be another statistic like we were, like I was just doing now, bringing up all these comedians that have died from. Yeah.
Yeah. I would honestly be too nervous to go up if I were drinking, or I know some people smoke weed and
right.
fine, but like, I don't, I would be too paranoid. I would.
Yeah. I can see alcohol loosening you up for public speaking. The smoking is like where you would lose your focus, I feel. Like I'm not condoning either for but it seems like public speaking with smoking, and that's one of the things there in Illinois is that they have a dispensary just down the block from all that the downtown legal recreational there in Springfield, not here in Texas at all. I would just like be worried about losing my train of thought, and it just doesn't seem there's a comedian there that I saw at the Wakery, Stony Baloney, I think. I was like, okay, this guy's, you know, got his theme and what he's doing with his style of comedy. But then I saw him on Facebook, and his stage name, Stony Baloney, isn't spell, it's spelled like the proper way to spell baloney, Bologna.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, like I, that fucks me up in the head, because I thought it was going to be baloney, B-L-O-O-N-E-Y, but it was spelled the right. So just the rhyme scheme's still there, but the spelling is just kind of fucks me up. But he's a regular there, right? Like he's.
Yeah, he
does
every
night. Yeah. Yeah. The substances while trying to do.
And stuff. It works for some people.
Yeah.
I mean, saying don't
right.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it would make me too nervous.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I would just be worried about losing my train of thought the entire time if I was doing that. Cool. So, you know, speaking of stand-ups, I had just watched recently, I'm a fan of, I'm always looking for new stand-up, like, stand-up sets. So before I come up with a couple examples here, when you were just talking about writing to, like, coming up with 15 minutes or, you know, and what do you have like a goal for like a 45, like what's your like right now the top goal right now when it comes to like time wise like a set, like do you have like a half hour, 20 or 45, or I personally think it's like an hour, it seems too much for most comedians, even professional comedians.
I mean, if you're like a touring comedian
that
people see, then you need an hour,
right?
Personally, don't even want to hear myself talk for an hour. But right now, the longest I've done for a show is 20 minutes. So then the next that I'm working up for is 30 minutes.
Just
or gradually. Whatever the show,
you
know, wants me to do. But usually they be like, how much time do you have? And I thought that meant like, how long have you been doing comedy?
Oh, nice.
Does that mean something different in sobriety? It's like, how long?
Yeah,
but it's like, how long of a comedy have? So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working on 30 now.
Nice. Because I feel like, so I'm always looking for stand-up specials and stuff like that. And you saying, like, talking for that long, like, I don't know if I had the bandwidth to listen to, like, because Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias, like, he was just out here, and somebody recently was telling me that they went to their, you know, took their entire family. There's an example of a PG-13, like, super successful comedian, sober comedian. Couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, good Lord, like, which I'm not saying somebody can't be entertaining for that long, but that's, like, That's quite a bit. Like, I'm going to bring up another stand-up that's kind of also been criticized the last couple of years. Joe Rogan, he's got he's got his podcast, and those things are 3 fucking hours long. And I'm like, I'll listen to, depending on who he has as a guest, if it's a, you know, a guest that I find interesting, then I'll listen to it. But for the most part, I'm like, I'm not interested in a subject enough to listen to 3 hours worth of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think with stand-up, I think a sweet, for, this is me completely personally, my own taste. I think, I think in the 40 to 45 minute is fucking perfect. 'Cause then you can really, you've got enough runway to get stuff out and to breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you can finish strong. If you finish strong, then they might, you might leave them wanting more. And, yeah, so to me, that's like, a lot of the stand-ups that I've watched, they seem to be coming up either on YouTube, like with like big, marquee names, but then, Netflix has got some of them too. I saw a Shane Gillis one that I really enjoyed from last year on Netflix, but the ones I wanted to bring up were, Akash Singh, just put one out. He's on the Flagrant podcast, and, it's Andrew Schultz's, co-host on that podcast. And he just put out a stand up on YouTube, and it's got like 2.2 million. Like that's great. That's, the YouTube rut's pretty sweet if it like works, if it like, if you make it work, because then like people can go on there and see that it's got so many, you're like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And, you're not necessarily going to see that on Netflix, I guess, possibly. But, Akash Singh, he's an, comedian. He's been doing, I think this might be his second or third stand up. It's called Gaslit, and it came out this year. And then another one, this one's a little bit older. It's from 2019. It's Arj Barker, and it's, the special's called Organic, and I did find it on YouTube. And Arj Barker was the neighbor on what's that HBO series, Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think he's from New Zealand, possibly too. There or Australia, but that one was really good, and I recommend both those stand-ups, but I'm always looking for new stand-ups and stuff.
Oh, that reminds me, there's Shane Smith. He's completely tatted up. He has like face tattoos.
Yes. Yeah,
but he's like PG-13 and
yeah
picks on himself. I can't remember what he called himself, like Mr. Rogers with tattoos or something.
Yeah. He's a tall guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of comedians out there. It's great that you can find them on YouTube, you can find them on on TikTok and all these different places where comedians can kind of like get discovered. And then most all comedians, especially after the pandemic, have podcasts now. So it's interesting how the you can get people to with a podcast, usually an hour long, you can kind of get a feel of the vibe of a person. I've discovered a lot of comedians on podcasts. Mark Norman, I really like. He's great. He's got a couple podcasts. It's great that that's all these. And we'll wrap up here momentarily. I didn't go too far into past watching your clip on Camp Nostalgic Studios, but is that just a comedy like a studio? Like, how's that related to how did you come know them or?
Sean Winfield just knew him from around Champaign, I guess. And yeah, they like to feature local comedians and other things. And so they just came to one of the open mics and recorded a few comedians that Sean recommended, and I was one of them. So, yeah, that's kind of just having friends.
Yeah.
Friends. Oh, and the Joe Rogan, like, he does the Kill Tony thing.
That, yeah.
But there's, like, a Make Us Laugh thing monthly around here. I think it's Bloomington, but I'm going to do that next month.
Okay.
But it's, like, a nice version of Kill Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really popular show. Like, I think more people are, like, I know Joe's got a ginormous following, but, like, I feel like Kill Tony gets brought up more fondly, like more people look more fondly on Kill Tony, which is cool. Good for, he's got a great stand-up, Tony Hinchcliffe. There's this one stand-up, I'll have to, for the next episode, I'll have to find exactly what it's called, but it's on Netflix. And that just seems so much fun. That's part of the reason I asked you with what you're kind of building towards for like a set is building your own stand up and then coming up with the music that plays you in and then plays you out, shit like that. So on this Tony Hinchcliffe stand up that's on Netflix, he's outside of the club smoking a cigarette, and it's just like casual, just seems like nothing's going on, and then the music starts kind of getting a little louder, and he puts out the cigarettes and then walks in on stage, and he walks like everything's ready for him to just walk up on stage and do his show. Then he does his show and he walks back out and he goes back to that same spot and just lights another cigarette. And I was like, that's pretty slick. So just that, just like the planning of it always seems kind of fun.
Yeah.
But then, you know, to have it be executed, just it's really, I guess, what you're looking for it to work out the way you planned. We'll wrap it up. Thanks so much for being on the show again. I'll continue to keep promoting the Springfield scene there, and that's cool too that you, I'm sure you're meeting all kinds of people, networking and stuff. And all right. So, I will put all kinds of links in the show notes so that they can find you. So, Cassandra Simpson.
I need to work on my flyer a little bit more. So, I'll send that to you when I get it.
Yeah. The one for July 7th?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was going to give you a compliment on it. Early on this recording, I was going to ask you, did you do that? Or did you put, where'd you... I assumed you ended up, when I was thinking that, I was like, no, she did it. But, like...
I did with Canva. I mean, it's pretty...
It's pretty slick. I thought it turned out pretty well. You'll be celebrating your 1 year of sobriety then. And I'm sure it'll be a packed show. When I've been there to the Wakery, there's always a good crowd there. All just 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, up to 60-year-old. Like it's a good Springfield crowd there.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So let's see, for all things My Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery can all be found at mygrenadestudios.com. So, thanks again, Cassie. For being on here. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Cassandra Simpson saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back.